Iman shines, our hearts take flight. It brings peace, love and light.
Faith and festivity. Faith and festivity.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Respected viewers of Madinah Channel, today is the day of Eid. You are watching Faith and Festivity. First of all, Eid Mubarak to you all. I've got, alhamdulillah, with me, my panel where I've got Dr. Zirek Attari. I've got, alhamdulillah, Sayyid Khurshid Hussain Shah Sahib, as well as I've got Sheikh Abdul Rashid Sahib with me. And today we'll be talking about mental health and Eid. There is so much to learn from today's episode, from expert perspective, as well as inshallah the stories as well as experience of our elderly. Be with us from start to end, immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning, and inshallah we'll share with you the experiences and expert advice at the same time. But before, let's make few good intentions, because my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Hafizahullah, has given us this beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As we are presenting this program, we all make this intention, we'll do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which should be the foremost intention of believer before performing any good deed. You're watching, you can make this intention, you'll watch this program from start to end. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. It's always a good idea to ask your family members to come and sit in front of Madinah Channel's TV screen and watch this program from start to end. And inshallah, this will benefit you in this world, definitely in the hereafter too. Let's go towards the honorable guests. First of all, Dr. Zirek Attari, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Eid Mubarak to you, Rizwan bhai, and Eid Mubarak to all of our viewers of Madinah Channel, and especially the senior citizens for whom we have got this special silsila.
Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much, Eid Mubarak to you also. MashaAllah, we've got our brother Khurshid Hussain Shah Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, sahab, Eid Mubarak to you.
Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much. Eid Mubarak to you too. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Sahib, how are you doing? You okay? MashaAllah, Eid Mubarak to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Everybody, Eid Mubarak.
Jazakallah. Thank you so much for joining me in this program. Respected viewers of Madinah Channel, this program is Faith and Festivity. Today we'll be talking about specifically regarding mental health and Eid. Especially when talking about the experiences of our seniors. What does it mean to them? What Eid is, inshallah. We'll also take expert opinion of Dr. Zirek Attari, inshallah, in this regard. First of all, the very first question, Dr. I would like to ask you that, what is the age bracket where you can say that this is the age bracket where you can physically or mentally class somebody as an elderly?
Okay, an important question, because if you look at different cultures, different countries, there is different perception of old age. And that's, you know, based upon their physical characteristics, how hard the lifestyle is in that particular country. Where we are talking about the Western countries, especially UK, Europe, from a medical point of view, when someone reaches the age of 65 or plus, then they are classed as, you know, senior citizens or elderly. And even within the elderly, there is obviously the differentiation, what we call as young old, middle old, and then, you know, old old. And again, you know, 65 to 70 may be young old, and 70 to 80, and then 80 plus is very elderly. And this is where obviously, you know, if we are living in UK, Europe, before this age, we should not feel as if we are old. We should enjoy the life. And again, it's the mindset. And I can say that even, you know, if we have the mindset that, you know, I am well, I'm healthy, and I can do this, then you will, you know, you will feel less elderly.
Even the one who is of 80 years old, he will also not consider himself as an elderly.
Absolutely. And when it comes to emotions,
mm-hmm.
feelings, they never age.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
They never age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a child up to the elderly age, you still, for example, you know, what you enjoy, you will enjoy. The things that you used to enjoy, you will still enjoy. So feelings, they are still, you know, as fresh as ever.
Okay.
Again, positive feeling and at the same time, negative feelings as well.
Mashallah. Khoji Sahib, as we are celebrating Eid in the United Kingdom, and I believe your background is from, I think, India, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, India.
So what difference do you find when you were in India, especially when you were young at that time?
Yeah.
In your childhood, and right now here, living in the UK, when you have reached to this age, what difference do you find in your childhood, the way you used to celebrate, and how does it feel like today?
In childhood, you know, we used to celebrate Eid with the families.
Right.
So beginning with the early morning namaz, salah.
Right.
Father used to take us to the mosque, and we were sitting in the front row. After the namaz, we come to and greet everybody, parents and elderly, grandfather, grandmothers, and all the elders in the house.
Super.
Afterward, we used to have food together. The people's and relatives comes to you, used to come our family to greet Eid, and that's it. And all the relatives and, you know, parents was giving us Eid, you know, particularly.
Right.
And we were quite happy at the time.
That's right.
Because, you know, as a child, I still memorize, you know, like. The one at the time, 2 rupees only.
Right.
But it's what immense, you know, giving us, you know, it's memorable for the lifetime. We still used to, you know, remember how the father was giving us, you know, grandfather was giving us Eid. And it was so beautiful life at the time.
Okay.
In England, not much socialized, I think. You
okay.
know, whenever we go to the mosque, we see the elder peoples. We give them Eid and friends, and when we come, just we see only the family.
Very limited social circle, you need.
Yeah, a bit less, you know, compared to the India and Pakistan, you know, like. But still, not bad because we are in town.
The Muslim community have seen.
Yes, Leicester is a good community, and we keep in touch with each other.
Good.
That's good factor for us, you know.
That's take point from what Sayyid Sahib said. He said that in the childhood, we used to get very little Eid.
That meant a lot.
1 rupee or 2 rupee, and I can remember my childhood.
Yeah.
And if we all imagined our childhood, so I would obviously be in the similar situation in Pakistan.
Mm.
After we used to get Eid as a child, go to the shop, and there were little toys. You probably may have spent, you know, £5 altogether, and you'll be coming with small toys, 4 or 5 of them, to your home. And you will be so happy. You'll be on the top of the world. And this, what I wanted to say is that the happiness comes in small, bite-sized chunks. And if we enjoy this little happiness that we have, then we will be happy, inshallah. Unfortunately, over, you know, time, what happens is as we grow, we think the happiness should be very big.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like sitting with the family in this day and age, having a cup of tea together, sitting on the dasturkhan and having food together. And these are things, and you know, that we should take as you know, blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be happy.
Not when Harissa was explaining his own childhood, and I could see his facial expressions, see how happy he was just memorizing those happy moments of his childhood. What do you think that when you spend a childhood with your family, with your parents in such a way that it has an impact even in this day and age?
Absolutely, because you know our mental health, when we look at it from a mental health point of view, then we always associate our happiness with childhood. Yeah. So if we are in the same place when we were a child, it will give us that comfort.
Right.
If we are along those individuals who were there when we were in our childhood, this will also give us that great sense of connectivity. And this sort of makes us happy. And mentally, it gives us that satisfaction that we are looking for.
Right.
So connection to people, connection to places, it actually keeps your mental health in a good state.
Very good.
Compare it to those individuals, for example, you know, we know some people, whether, for example, those who work in the army,
right,
and they will be moving from place to place, or some individuals, as a result of a job, they move from one place to another, take their children with them, because they can't actually develop that sense of connection to one particular place.
Right.
We know that these individuals suffer more, you know, from depression, from anxiety, from social connectivity, low self-esteem, low confidence,
right,
and you know, leading to a number of different issues and problems. Yeah. So, connection with your childhood place, and if you are around even in old age,
yeah,
then you have less chances of suffering from depression and anxiety or other mental health.
Wonderful, wonderful. I would like to just ask from Sheikh Saab, what is your experience here celebrating Eid in Leicester, UK? And what do you just think about your past when you were a child, and what difference do you find?
हमारे उस वक्त जो बचपन में celebrate करने जाते थे एक ही घर में, जहाँ पे बाहर जितने भी service करते थे सभी एक ही जगह पे आते थे,
right,
और उसके बाद नमाज पढ़ने के बाद सारा कोई कब्रिस्तान जाना है, कब्रिस्तान जाने के बाद फिर घर वापस आके फिर celebrate करना है और रिश्तेदारों को मिलना है, साथ में बच्चों की ईदी देनी है, मतलब इस तरह सेलिब्रेट होते था पूरा दिन, मतलब एंजॉय करते थे इसी तरह।
तो यहाँ पे क्या फर्क देखते हैं यूके के अंदर?
यहाँ पे क्या है कि बच्चे सब वो जो है वो सब सबके घरों पे है, मतलब तो वो लिमिटेड सेलिब्रेट होता है, मतलब यहाँ पे
सब इकट्ठे एक जगह पे होना मुश्किल है काम की वजह से, और डिफरेंट फैक्टर्स हो सकते हैं,
इस तरह मतलब
दूर दूर रहते हैं, हो सकता है
दूर रहते हैं, मतलब
सबको छुट्टी नहीं मिलती।
जी जी,
राइट। सो डॉक्टर, दिस इज ऑल्सो समथिंग वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट फैक्टर लिविंग इन द यूनाइटेड किंगडम, व्हेन यू कैन नॉट हैव ऑफ फ्रॉम वर्क, नॉट नेसेसरली एवरीवन इन द फैमिली कैन हैव द डे ऑफ। And how does it feel like, especially those parents, they are waiting for the kids to come, but due to some certain reasons, maybe they live afar, or they're at work, or due to certain other reasons, they cannot get together on this very special day, which is a great festival in Islam. And what kind of mental trauma or depression one can go through because of this?
Clearly, Eid is a social occasion where your expectation, your own expectations are that we should all get together, because this has been the custom, this has been the tradition, so you're naturally looking forward to it. Secondly, you also have a kind of a competition with other elderly individuals as well, and you say, okay, well, their children are coming and their family members are coming, why are my family members not coming? And you know, if we look at it from a practical point of view, and again, we've chosen to be in this situation. So those who are employees of an employer, and then obviously their job can take far away.
Yeah.
The children have now settled in, they've got married, they've got their own children, and the elderly parents are hundreds of miles apart.
Yeah.
And now what happens is that despite your best efforts, the children may not obviously, make it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And again, I'm trying to portray it from both perspectives, elderly and also their children.
Yeah.
And what happens is that when either you may not be able to see the children, or when you see them, you will see them very briefly,
yeah,
just for half an hour, 1 hour,
yeah,
and then they will leave you.
Just for a lunch or dinner or something.
Yeah. So where, if we look at it, those individuals who live kind of in a joint family or in the same city, then what is happening is
if one relative is coming, then after 10 minutes and they will go, another one will come. Then another one will come. And this is a very good tradition, yeah. Alhamdulillah, within our Asian communities.
Sure.
That you know, you get to see almost all of your relatives. And again, even though it is 10-minute brief discussion, and it's happening, and you feel happy.
So
and you share your own happiness with them, they share their own happiness with you. So they get to know about, obviously, you know, the other elderly relatives that they may not be able to visit them.
Sure.
So this sharing of information, sharing of emotions, sharing of food, sharing of time together, and happening in either for a long period of time or multiple members of the family coming, it actually makes you happy.
Yeah.
It obviously releases those happy hormones in your mind. And you know, Eid is then connected as a festival of happiness because of this. But sadly, if we look at obviously the changing times in this society, and again, you know, in this day and age, to be honest, the world has now become a global village,
yeah.
And the lifestyles tend to be very similar nowadays. Whether it is developed countries or developing countries, or even in villages as well, so people are adopting the new ways of new lifestyles. And there is that reduced connectivity, reduced time spent with elderly when they need it the most.
Yeah.
And obviously, if we look at their need, the needs of the elderly are much bigger. Now they are dependent upon others for very basic things. For example, activities of daily living, going to the toilet. Some of them may have disabilities. Some of them may have illnesses where they need that support. Changing clothes,
yeah.
May become obviously that you need additional support.
Right.
You know, preparing your meals, even many times eating your meal, you may obviously be weak.
Yeah.
You may have obviously tremor in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You may have obviously issues with your teeth. You cannot even, you know, eat, and you need actually help with these. And now, you know, with these huge needs, there is no one. In most of the cases, unfortunately.
Mm.
Now, in the UK, okay, we may have provision through social services, we may have other private provisions where carers would come and they at least deliver the basic needs of them, but the love, the affection, the care, where is that?
Mm.
And to be honest, if I were to think of our elderly people in this day and age, it is as if we have left a six-month-old child to care for themselves.
True.
That is the actual reality, how I see it. The more you think about it, the more you will agree with me that this is how the situation is, that you know, we are leaving, you know, toddlers on their own to care for themselves.
So probably this is the reason Islam has emphasized and stressed upon the rights of parents in specific, especially in Quran, we find in the Hadith, we find the way we have been encouraged to look after them, especially when they get old, right? Either of them or one of them, they get old, and then you talk to them kindly, then you converse with them kindly, gently, softly, and then you bear, and then you tolerate their behavior, which could be otherwise. And this is what Islam demands from every child. The reason, again, you said, you see, when we were children, when we were child, when we couldn't walk, when we couldn't talk, when we couldn't even speak, these were the parents who made us talk, they made us walk, they made us eat. We couldn't even clean ourselves. They made us, keep ourselves neat and clean. So, alhamdulillah, now when they have gone to this age, this is what Islam demands. Now, we should be looking after them, okay, caring them and supporting them with all those needs which Dr. Sam has just mentioned, respective views of many children. This is the program of awareness, you see, where we are highlighting the physical health problems the elderly they go through, the mental health problems they go through, and what is our role and responsibility as children, as believers, as Muslims, and what Islam guides us. This is something very important. And also, there is a very famous account which comes in my mind. I would like to share with viewers of my channel, and I would like to just summarize that. So, in the Musa ala Nabi Salatu Salam, and he was told that your neighbor is a butcher.
right?
And he went to see his neighbor in Jannah. So when he goes there, back in those days when you would travel, so people, they would find you as a traveler and they would just offer you to come for a meal or stay. So when he, alayhi salatu wasalam, went to that butcher, so he asked, he said, I'm a musafir or traveler. So he took him to their house. And very something strange he found during the meal when the dining mat was set, meal was there. And he would eat and he would feed inside the big zambil kind of thing, a bucket kind of thing was there. And when that individual, butcher, he went out for some reason, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam saw those elderly two individuals who were lying down there and they were being fed by that individual who was their son. And they were very old when they saw Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam this line, and then they passed away. So when the son comes and he sees the parents both died, the first question he asked, are you Musa? Ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi of Allah, Prophet of Allah. He said, yes, I am, but how do you know? Now the son says of those elderly, he says that the reason I know that you may be Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, because my parents, they used to make dua that Ya Allah, may we not die unless or until we see Prophet Musa ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. Probably their prayer has been accepted. He said, yes, I am Prophet Musa. And what else they used to say? So he said that they used to make dua for me that may I get the neighborhood of Prophet Musa, and Nabi of Allah in Jannah. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, I can confirm that you will be in my neighborhood in Jannah. So this is such a great deed when you look after elders, when you look after your parents, especially, okay, when you fulfill their rights. So you get the proximity of Nabi in Jannah. What else one needs? This is how Islam has emphasized about the rights of elders. But unfortunately, to be honest with you, in this day and age, people have gone so much materialistic, okay, they have thought that the money is just their life, and they are busy in earning money, and they have forgotten the values, the traditions, and their responsibilities. And the parents, they don't need just money from you. They need your time. They need your affection.
One way I will take this particular narrative and take the opportunity to do a little bit of cognitive behavioral therapy of our listeners of the Madani channel.
Sure.
And do a bit of a reflection. Many times we listen to these amazing narratives which have got such a powerful message.
Sure.
But because we fail to reflect on them, we do not get the message.
Sure.
So let's reflect on this particular message. That particular individual who was serving his parents in their extreme age, someone gave him that mindset.
Yeah.
Someone gave him that mindset. You can get the mindset in two ways. One, someone teaches you and keeps telling you to do this and you do it. The second type of way and more important way you can get mindset is copy the behavior of someone else.
The positive one, yeah.
Now, how does this relate to this particular program is that as parents, we need to do two things to our children. Number one, keep telling them to look after your elderly parents.
Yeah.
And most importantly, in front of them, if our parents are alive, then we should be practically demonstrating to these children the care of the parents. So either staying together with them or keeping them very close, frequently visiting them, frequently meaning multiple times in a week, not just over a weekend, even though it is a 10 minute. Now I would like to share some experiences from medical profession. I know, and again in terms of the mindset, if I take the example of medical professionals, doctors, generally they move around a lot. For example, I know certain friends who are doctors. They graduated in Pakistan, moved to UK. They've got other brothers who are professionals out in the other countries. And their parents are left on their own. The parents now develop either a stroke or serious physical health problem. Now all the siblings, all the children, one by one are coming to support them whatever they can. I'm not sort of blaming that they're not supporting them. But if someone had taken the opportunity, for example, okay, they may be getting more money in UK,
but for a less amount of money, if their mindset was made that no, you can work in Pakistan, you can work in your own country, rather than going thousands of miles away, stay within a near proximity, and you could still have worked as a doctor. You may be earning less, however, in terms of the reward for the world thereafter, the parents' happiness, the parents' duas, then, you know, can we actually, you know, replace that, or can we compare that with worldly benefits? And I think, you know, parents, as parents, there is this lack of mindset that you don't, you tell the children, okay, do your best, go wherever you want to go, okay, although there's nothing wrong in that. But then we forget that what this advice is going to lead to. And like Allah says in the Holy Quran, the lots of issues and the problems and the trials and tribulations that you face is because of your own doings, whether right doings or wrong doings. So I think, you know, through this program, the message I would want to convey is that, look, whatever you know, your children, when they are young, give them the mindset of living closer to the parent, and you also do the same thing. And then, inshallah, your, you know, dunya, your akhirah will be better. Your children, dunya and akhirah will be better as well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So we discussed a few of the physical health issues the elderly they face. But could you please go through some of the mental health issues they face? And how can they help or affect someone's festivity, especially the Eid celebrations?
Just to give a little bit of background, when I was working with NHS, National Health Service, my specialty was old age psychiatry.
Okay.
So I spent a couple of years visiting care homes or visiting elderly people in their own homes, diagnosing and treating mental health problems. As you get older, naturally, because of a number of different factors, whether it is physical health problems, lower social connectivity, and also you face financial difficulties and so forth, naturally the risk of mental health problems increases. One of the two very common issues, although there are lots of things, but two very common problems in elderly that I want to sort of raise awareness about is depression and dementia. Now depression, although if you look at the statistics, generally in general public, including all ages, you're talking about 18% people suffering from depression. In elderly, this figure goes about 25%.
Okay.
Although it's not that high. However, what is most surprising is that 85% of the elderly people who suffer from depression, they do not get the treatment. They do not get the help from the doctor. And again, this is another factor, because what happens is they themselves are not able to recognize. The family members may be thinking, well, this is the part and parcel of getting older, growing up. And you know, so first and foremost is, I think that, you know, family members should be getting frequent review of the their elderly parents by the GP. Now, the GP, the family doctor, they focus everything on physical health problems. They may be doing the blood tests every now and then and screening for this problem and that problem. But even they are not focused on mental health issues. And I can say this because I was the specialist in this field. And so the doctors themselves in the general practice need to actually make an effort to review mental health.
Right.
But similarly, the family members, when they see, for example, what are the things that will trigger me,
right,
as a child of a parent who may be suffering from depression? So, for example, their mood, they are, you know, less happy than before.
Okay.
You may not have to be sad, but if an individual is less happy than before,
there should be a reason.
Then this is a sign.
Right.
They may not be feeling hungry, or they may not be eating. Mm-hmm. They were eating well, but now suddenly their appetite is gone.
Okay.
And they are not taking interest in those activities that they used to.
Right.
Or, like I said, the same activity doesn't give them that joy. These are the very common things. And if you feel it, take them to the GP and say to them, I've got these issues, can you please help them? And if there is depression, treat it.
Okay.
Because depression is very easily treated with medication for the elderly. I will focus on medication because therapy wise they're not psychologically minded and they're not mentally in that state mostly. Okay. They can go through therapy. But with medication, depression will improve. And it's extremely important that we treat depression. Otherwise, they will actually decline significantly.
Okay.
The second thing is dementia. Dementia is memory loss.
Okay.
Dementia is extremely well disguised by the elderly people. Because what happens is, dementia at the early stages affects your working memory.
Okay.
What do I mean by working memory? You need to think that today I have an appointment with the doctor.
You forget that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to obviously make a list of what do I need to go and buy in terms of groceries, milk, bread.
Right.
You need to obviously think that I need to change my clothes.
Right.
So what we call as activities of daily living.
Right.
You would notice the elderly people who are suffering from memory problems, they are starting to miss their appointments.
Okay.
They are starting to miss their medication that they are taking.
Yes.
So you will look at it, no tablet being taken out of the dosage box. Mm. They're missing their medication, they're missing their appointments. There may be letters coming which are saying they have an appointment, or you know, an engineer is coming to service their boiler and they've not made a record of it. Or they have made a record of it, but they forgot it.
Right.
Similarly, in the kitchen, they may be leaving the gas on.
Yeah.
They may be leaving the door open.
Window open.
They may be, usually when they go on familiar routes, they can go and come back. But if they go go on a new route,
they might forget.
They will struggle to follow the route. They may obviously also, if they're still driving, then they may be making those judgment errors.
Right.
Because of lack of concentration, and they may be more prone to accidents. All of these are telltale signs or early symptoms of dementia. And when you see these things, then you really need to go to the GP and get them properly assessed.
Hmm.
And again, this will have a huge impact on the individual and on the family members.
Right.
I am aware of many of my friends or some of my friends whose elderly parents have suffered from dementia. To be honest, it actually completely changes you as a person.
Okay.
And I say is the individual dies before their death.
About.
Because of the memory issues and because of, you know, all other problems and you know, the huge amount of complications and issues. Mm-hmm. And dementia has been the leading cause of death in UK for the last 10 years. And by 2025 or 2023, the number of people suffering from dementia will double.
Right.
So again, although the topic may not be directly related with the Eid, but as we mentioned, mental health problems, mm-hmm. depression, dementia. And for the carers of these individuals, if you see again any problems with their mood, their interest, low food intake, memory issues, that they are forgetting daily things. Now, a common mistake that I have seen carers doing when you tell them they may have memory issues, in the early stages, the long-term memory is preserved, meaning the accounts of years ago.
They will remember.
And these individuals, they actually start talking about those things. Mm. And you will say, I can't remember 10 years ago and they remember. How can their memory be an issue?
Yeah.
But that is a serious error of judgment. Is the working memory, the short-term memory, and the activities of daily living, if you look at it, they will be struggling. There will be signs screaming out that this is an early stage of dementia. Get them assessed. So some types of dementia, their progression can be slowed down.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to go into the deep types of dementia, the causes and so forth. Ultimately, I've given the symptoms and I think it can be very helpful.
Dr. Thank you so much, sir. This is really very informative information you've shared with viewers of Healthy Channel. That's very important. You know, there are some people, they want to help their elderly parents and they want to look after them, but sometimes they don't understand their needs and they don't know that why these changes have happened, okay? And what sort of help they need, physical help or the mental help, especially sometimes physical help when it changes, it is visible. You can see, and then you can help. Maybe you can take someone to the doctor. But you know, the trauma or the depression or some sort of mental health issues which are not visible through a naked eye. So the children, they don't know that their parents are going through, and they are not able to help properly. But alhamdulillah, programs like this, this is the reason we bring, and we bring expert opinion, and we talk about them to raise awareness so that we can know that what are the mental health issues they are affecting our parents, and how can, as a children, we can help them. Alhamdulillah.
Just wanted to mention two more things here.
Please.
That again, it's another part of therapy. That I use the word therapy, you may use another word, but through the platform of Dawat Islami, mm-hmm. we are delivering this mindset. People may think it's impossible to look after elderly parents. We have jobs in this. In my working life as a doctor, when I was going around people's homes, I have seen many examples where a son or a daughter has given up their job to look after their elderly parent, or they put their job on a hold, or they may have, you know, resorted to other alternative means, and they are with the full dedication, they are delivering the care, and they are themselves become the carers. Again, it's very challenging. I'm not saying that everyone can do it, but there are these examples that we can take the lessons from. And the second point that I want to say is that as a community, we can actually play a big role in terms of helping people who are elderly. Like you mentioned, and it's a very common loneliness, being alone. We in the community can provide what we call as a befriending service.
Right.
If I have time on my hands, then I can go and visit these individuals, sit with them, talk to them. You don't have to do, you don't need a degree in psychology. Just talk about them. You know, ask them to share their happy moments. And they will show you these things from the past. And I used to, for example, I'll share one example. I visited one elderly individual,
right,
when I was working in the NHS. And, in my visits, we realized that he, although he was from India, but his Urdu was brilliant. And then he shared with me some of those Urdu writings that he had done, which was amazing. And although this was a very little exercise, but for him, it had a significant meaning that someone could actually share his happiness with him. So, befriending service. And alhamdulillah, we are here in Leicester, and I can say that one of our scholars is actually visiting one of the elderly care homes as a befriending service. And again, another thing that I see in the beautiful teachings of Islam, there are very powerful pearls of what we call as psychological therapy that can motivate you, that can help you overcome a very difficult circumstance. For example, usually elderly individuals, very commonly they face bereavement. Life partner may have passed away, or other family members have passed away. And when someone goes to them and talks about the excellence of sabr, the patience, and then how the believers may be in the world hereafter, and how this is a test for them, this is huge therapy, huge cognitive behavioral therapy. And again, you don't need to be a therapist. As long as you know, you can read, and alhamdulillah, our Shaykh-e-Tariqat Amiri al-Sunnah has written booklets about this. He's written many booklets. So one of them, a booklet that again can be very helpful in the time of trials and tribulation, is what we call as Mandak Suar Bichu, the scorpion on a frog. And if we read this booklet is full of those narratives where if you read them, you understand them, you reflect on them, it can help you reduce your depression, your anxiety, your worries.
MashaAllah. Yusuf, we are just talking about faith and festivity, and especially the mental health issues related to our senior citizens, our elderly. What we are discussing here, Doctor, I think the expression of your love and sympathy, empathy for parents is also important, and Islam provides this. through different festivals, especially Ramadan when it comes. It provides us an opportunity to get together, to do iftar and suhoor together, to sit down on a dining mat or a table and have a meal together, and then the Eid al-Fitr and then Eid al-Adha. All these festivals, this festivity and faith, it connects people together, it removes loneliness, it brings cohesion, family cohesion, community cohesion. And alhamdulillah, this is the beauty of our deen, this is the beauty of our religion in Islam. And sometimes expressing your love is very important. You know, our parents, they don't just need our money, as I earlier said. Okay, people, they think that I am sending money, I live in UK or America or in a foreign country, and then I send money, and I think that's enough for my parents. Okay, I'm looking after their needs, but that's not the only solution. They need your time, they need your company, they need your compassion, they need your sympathy. I think a child, when he comes from work, on his way to home, he buys few bananas or fruits, and then he comes and sits with his parents and cuts those fruits with his own hands, and then he gives them to the parents. Now, what sort of joy and happiness that could bring on the faces? I think it would be far, far, far greater than if he just sends money.
And again, I mean, sorry to interrupt, and I would like to mention a psychological perspective here. Yeah. That when we look at human psychology, we all have our needs, and these needs have been defined into different categories.
Right.
And there are basic type of needs, which is food, sleep, water, clothing, and housing.
Right.
Everyone's basic needs have to be fulfilled.
That must be met first.
And money does fulfill those basic needs.
Yeah.
Okay?
To some extent, yeah.
But this basic needs fulfillment doesn't give you a quality of
yes.
life. The next level of needs is what we call as social needs.
Right.
And one of them is love.
True.
Money doesn't buy love.
Yeah.
What you said, you know, taking the banana, rather than sending the money for them to buy the banana and eat themselves, take the banana to them, it's your time, cut the banana, feed them, now you're delivering love.
And removing the loneliness also.
Removing the loneliness, and this love and affection actually then becomes a fulfilling service to your parents.
Absolutely. Okay. Any advice from your personal expertise?
Again, first of all, I'd like to make dua that may Allah Azza wa Jal give long and healthy life to all of our parents, to all the elderly, and may Allah Azza wa Jal keep them in good shape and good health, that they don't become dependent upon others. And they themselves want this as well, that they don't become independent. However, I think it's always been the time, but especially with fast moving times and changing lifestyles, I think we need to stick to our roots.
Right.
And the roots is joint care, or at least in the close proximity. And if we give our children the mindset, this can be achieved. But because we're not giving the mindset, and then elderly are complaining, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya, they don't come, they don't care, while we themselves were the one who were promoting them to obviously, you know, go and do these things without realizing what would be the consequences. Mm-hmm. So think about this, and I think, you know, if we give the mindset, you know, through Madani environment of Dawat Islam, we be part of it practically, inshallah, both worlds will be successful.
Wonderful. Okay. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, we were talking about faith and festivity on this beautiful Eid al-Fitr's occasion. We were, mashallah, with Dr. Zirek and our esteemed guests, Sayyid Ukhushid Hussain Shah Sahib and Sheikh Sahib, mashallah. You heard a wonderful discussion. We raised awareness regarding mental health issues relating to our senior citizens elderly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our effort. That's all for today. We'll be back with another interesting episode. Keep watching Madani Channel, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Iman shines, our hearts take flight. It brings peace, love and light. Faith and festivity. Faith and festivity.